Exodus 32, 1 to 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered round Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Now, picking it up again in verse 30. "The next day, Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' So Moses went back to the Lord and said, 'Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please, forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written.' The Lord replied to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin.' And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made."
Have you ever wondered, is anyone listening to me? Maybe at work with your boss when you've given the latest suggestion about something. Maybe you've told your children for the 78th time, "Get your shoes on and get out of the door because we're going to be late for school again." Perhaps it's with friends or with family when we're with them and we just want them to listen and hear how hard life is and what is going on in here, and we don't feel listened to. Maybe you feel your voice is lost amongst the noise of the social media and the changing culture. Is anyone listening? And maybe with our own personal walk with the Lord, as we pray, as our hearts cry out to him, as we intercede for others, and we don't feel he is working or responding or listening. Is that you? Have you felt like that? Is anyone listening? Is the Lord listening? Well, as I've been reading Exodus and preparing, I've been struck again at the amazing truth that God listens to us as his children. He listens to you. Not because we're fascinating or we've got anything great to say, but he hears. Because he is the creator who made us and loves us. And as Christians, we are his children. And he delights and longs to hear from us. And we're going to see in this passage from Exodus 32 that the living, true God of the universe listened to Moses, a mere person. And there's two events that are taking place side by side here. So I'm going to set the scene like the start of a Hollywood film. The camera first goes to the top of a mountain where Moses meets, is in communion with the Lord Yahweh, the I am who I am, the holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, creator, sustainer, ruler, and judge of the universe. That is Moses, just a mere man, small, finite, creaturely. And at the same time, another camera down the mountain reveals a shocking scene as the Lord's people, the Israelites, his saved people, they've made their own God, an idol, in the form of a golden calf. And the Lord who listens sees everything and he utters, I have seen the people, the Lord said to Moses. And verse 10, which is the key verse, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. It's the key verse that unlocks the heart of this passage, and it asks the question, how can the holy God, righteous and pure, be in communion with an idolatrous people, sinful and impure? And, well, the straightforward answer is, it's impossible. He can't. They deserve his righteous anger, his punishment for their idolatry, especially after everything that he's done. And in this encounter with the Lord, see, if Moses did leave the presence of the Lord, that may well have been the case, and that may well have happened. But the good news is, he didn't. He stayed. He remained. He intervened. He spoke a prayer of intercession as the intercessor for the people. What the Israelites so desperately needed at that point was for Moses to mediate between the Almighty I am who I am and the people. And we're going to see a dynamic tonight. We're going to appreciate tonight both the need and the power of intercession and intercessory prayer. And the extraordinary truth is the Lord listened to Moses. But Moses foreshadows an even greater person, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord listened to as he interceded for us as our mediator and intercessor. And in Christ, how the Lord listens to his people, his church, as we intercede for each other and the world. So it's 3 points that I'm going to go through. God listens to Moses. God listens to Jesus. God listens to us. And my hope and prayer is that the Lord is going to work in such a way tonight in our hearts to stir our hearts and our affections that we grasp the amazing truth that the Lord, we know that the Lord listens, to enable us to respond in praise, to grow us in our assurance and strengthen our confidence. So let's dive in. My first point, God listened to Moses. And notice the sharp contrast and the irony. The Lord had listened to the cries of the Israelite people, to verse 24 in Exodus, and he showed his love and care and responded by raising up Moses to rescue them. And the Israelites, they had seen his power demonstrated in the plagues and his rescue before the might of Pharaoh as he redeemed them from slavery to Egypt. And his abundant goodness and provision in giving them food and manna, even that morning. But what happened? Moses, 32 verse 1, taking so long in coming down from the mountain. And so the Israelites, they're so quick, aren't they, to turn away from the Lord. What is Moses doing? Receiving instructions from the Lord. The Israelites so quick to set up their own form of worship. They collect their jewelry, they take it to Aaron, they melt it down, and they fashion it into a golden calf. The irony, they made a golden calf that couldn't even hear, a lump of metal, who couldn't care or respond. And we read this and think, you know, what on earth do you think you're doing? Are you out of your mind after everything that the Lord has done for you and redeeming you from Egypt and his power. You know, I mean, that's so, he's a powerful, rescuing, generous God. Yet, are we so different? We know, don't we, the Lord to be powerful and rescuing and generous. Yet, we're so tempted to turn away from the Lord and turn to other things. And the good things that the Lord has blessed us with, metaphorically speaking, we sort of melt them down and make them into the idols of our day and age. Are we so different? One of the issues is we live in a digital world where we can get things so quickly. You click, swipe up, whoosh, constant notifications, you know, on our watches and our iPhones. Zip, 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 zip. You know, I've had to put it on flight mode. Everything is so instant. Gone are the days where you just sit in front of the internet and you just wait for the page slowly load like this. You send videos in an instant, like 100 megabytes. Wow. We live in such a fast-paced world. And when the Lord doesn't give what we want, what our hearts desire, what do? We look elsewhere. We turn elsewhere. Are we so different? And the Lord, who listens, saw this and said to Moses, they are a stiff-necked people. And the Old Testament uses anatomical language to describe the Israelites' heart towards the Lord. Strong heads, stiff necks, hard hearts, deaf ears. And he responds, verse 10, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Remarkable, though, that he didn't, and he listened to Moses' prayer of intercession. So quick to listen, slow to get angry. I don't know about you, but when I'm angry, when someone's pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, it's just like, right, enough, no more listening. You're done, that is it. The Lord, quick to listen, slow to get angry. And let's have a look. Let's go through verses 11 to 14. Just look with me in your Bibles from verse 11. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people? Notice the personal appeal there, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. Notice here, Moses is appealing to the mighty works of the Lord that were displayed and seen and experienced, that were an outworking of his character that he knew, that are there in Exodus 34, verse 6. Very familiar to us. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And so Moses appeals to his whole character, not part. And don't mishear me. He's not downplaying or denying his holiness and his righteous anger, but he's appealing to his compassion, his mercy, his patience, his steadfast love and faithfulness. And Moses was eager to protect the reputation and the glory of God's name. Verse 12, why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent? Then he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth. In other words, Lord, destroying the Israelites is going to damage your reputation because Egypt will say to the nations, do you see, the Lord Yahweh of Israel redeemed them, freed them, and then after all that, what did he do? Well, he just destroyed them in the mountains, did our work for us. Harm his reputation, his name, his glory. He would be seen amongst the nations as the Lord of vengeance, not the Lord of compassion and love and grace and mercy. And so he appeals again. Turn from your fierce anger. Relent. Do not bring disaster on your people. And then he appeals to the Lord's faithfulness, to his promises. Verse 13, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will bring your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I'll give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Do you notice also he says in verse 10, after he says that he'll wipe them out, then I'll make you into a great nation. And you sort of think, well, how on earth are you going to do that if you just wipe them out? Did God listen to Moses' intercession? Well, yes, because of how he responded. Verse 14, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Now, let me address the elephant in the room. The Lord relented. Does this mean he changed his mind? Because scripture says the Lord doesn't change his mind. Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. So how do we solve this puzzle and reconcile this apparent contradiction? Well, let me ask a few questions. Is God sovereign and in control and in charge of the events of the Exodus? Yes, tick. Is he therefore in charge of everything the Israelites did? Yes, tick. How about what they said? Yes. How about what Moses prayed? Yes. He's sovereign in that sense of everything that he's created and all the people. And the other thing is, the Lord could have chosen any means possible to exercise his sovereign rule on earth. He's the Lord. He's the freedom to do what he wants, when he wants. Who are we to say, do this and do that? But guess what? Guess what? He chose people as the means. He chose Moses. We've been hearing all week, isn't it? He called Moses. He used Moses. Tonight, he listened to Moses. I said at the start that dynamic we see here. The need for intercession, but also the power of intercession. He listens to Moses and then he acts. God listened and relented. It's not that he changed his mind from plan A to plan B. No. It was always plan A. But he used Moses' prayer of intercession as the means to accomplish plan A, his will and purposes on earth. It's almost in that sense that when the Lord says, leave me alone, he's almost sort of inviting him to intercede. You know me and plan A, right? How can we be confident the Lord listened? Well, it was accompanied by action, his mercy. See? Imagine for a moment if the stewards here announce, fire, fire, the Riviera Center, it's just about to go up in flames, everybody out. Now, how would I know that you've listened to that? Well, if you're there, as you are, sat there scribbling away, making notes, fantastic, you know, fire notice, you know, double underline, let's highlight it with our pens, just sat there, and you've not really listened. You're going to be burned up in flames and so on. No, if you put your, well, grab your Bibles and then go straight to the fire exits in a very orderly way, I think there's one, two, and then walk in an orderly way out of the Riviera Center, I know that you've listened because it's been accompanied by action. The power of intercession is seen in God's response. When he heard, he responded in accordance with his kindness and his compassion and his slowness to anger by relenting. I want to stress this. God is the God who listened. He listened to the cries of the Israelites as they cried out to him, and he responded by executing his rescue plan. Exodus 32, here he listened to Moses. 33:17, I will do the very thing you have asked. My presence will go with you. 33:18, when Moses said to the Lord to reveal his glory, the Lord listened and he revealed his glory. And so, with renewed assurance and confidence, let's joyfully praise the Lord tonight at this evening celebration, tomorrow, this week, this month, as the Lord that we know, the one who listens, who delights from hearing from us. And let's not be so quick to judge the Israelites and their idolatry. We need to appreciate that the Israelites were on a journey between being rescued from Egypt on their way to the promised land, which they weren't there. They weren't there yet. And as Christian disciples, we're journeying, aren't we, in this world, as those rescued from sin by Jesus on our way to our promised land, the new creation. It's not long ago, it was Easter, and we were reminded of the truths of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then so quickly, isn't it, our hearts, we turn to other things in danger of taking the good things the Lord has given us and melting them down, metaphorically speaking, into the idols of our 21st age. What this might this be? Maybe money, maybe career, health, maybe comfort and leisure. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your work or even ourselves. The good things as the ultimate things. And Paul reminded us, didn't he, in Philippians, in the end, everything's going to be stripped away. And if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. And God could rightly punish us, but he didn't and doesn't, because Moses foreshadows one greater, Jesus, the ultimate intercessor and mediator, the great high priest. That is how the Exodus 32 narrative is not just some interesting reading in a historical book. That's how it becomes our narrative and our story. It brings me nicely to my second point. God listens to Jesus. And the New Testament writer of the book of Hebrews had Exodus in mind. Chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Let's remind ourselves. Let me remind you why Jesus is better than Moses. And as I go through, let's allow ourselves to enjoy these truths as we focus in Jesus. Let's soak them up. Let's take them in. Let's delight in him. Let's listen. And if you want to, you can close your eyes. But here we go. Moses was reluctant when called by God. Jesus, completely obedient, submitted freely, willingly, lovingly. God showed his power over Pharaoh through Moses. Jesus showed his power over sickness, demons, death, and creation in his miraculous works. Moses needed the blood of the unblemished Passover lamb that died in the place of the people. Jesus became the Passover lamb, the sinless, perfect Passover lamb, our perfect substitute and represented who died in our place. Moses was spared God's righteous anger with his people under the blood of the lamb. Jesus took the full force of God's righteous anger as the Lamb of God so we could be shown mercy and forgiveness. Moses needed the Lord to part the Red Sea, the barrier, so that the Israelites could pass through the water from death to life. Jesus' resurrection power opens the way that means we pass through the waters of baptism from death to life. Moses shared in the Lord's anger in breaking the tablets and getting rid of the calf and burning it. Jesus shared his father's anger by overturning the tables in the temple. Moses could not atone for the Israelites' sin when he went back up the mountain. Jesus could atone for the sin of the people, the perfect lamb. Moses received the law at Mount Sinai, put them on stone tablets. He was concerned for the Israelites' holiness. Jesus kept the law perfectly. He removed our hearts of stone and replaced them with hearts of flesh so we can be holy. Friends, these events in the Exodus describe our redemption and rescue, not from slavery to Egypt and Pharaoh, but from sin, Satan, death, and judgment. And the reality is, if God the Father did not listen to the prayers of God the Son, as he cried out, as we were reminded of on Good Friday, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. There would be no church today, no gathering like this. But he did, and there is. And we're here at Rising Lights, happy days. It's because of Jesus that the Exodus narrative and story of salvation becomes our song and our story. And Jesus, as the ruling king, continues to intercede for us. We've been rescued by his death and resurrection, but let me remind you, we're not in glory yet. We're not in heaven yet. That day will come. So let's learn from the Israelites' mistakes. I drive in London, I get really frustrated and wound up when people, you know, take the other lane and then sort of cut in front of me. And I was telling my wife that, just really, you know, I can't believe he did that. And then I missed the, you know, got stuck behind the red light and I was late and just So annoying. And then on our journey here, I did exactly that. And she reminded me that you did exactly what you got so irritated by a few weeks ago. There's always a danger, isn't there, that we read what the Israelites did here as they turn to idols and our frustration. And it just, are you out of your mind after everything the Lord has done? But do we examine our own hearts and what we're doing? I tell you, I thank the Lord Jesus that he interceded for me. How much did I need that? How much do you need that? And the encouragement is to press on. See, Jesus didn't just give us an example or we'd fail. I mean, he was the perfect example. But he didn't do that. He didn't just say, right, here's a bunch of resources, you know, beat it, get on with it and being holy. He did an incredible thing. He gave us his spirit that works in our hearts, renewing us, changing us, transforming us. So we say no to idols and yes to Jesus, God with us. Not communion with God in a tabernacle or a temple, but union with Christ. His spirit to give us the power to resist, to wrestle, to say no. And friends, there will come a day. There will come a day. The rapture, when Jesus will return and everything that is wrong and awful and hard in this life will be no more. Press on. And that brings me thirdly and lastly to God listens to us. God listens to us. Some massive encouragements here. A good way to finish encouragements. The Lord listens to us. And here's the thing. Sometimes we can think, can't we? Who am I? You know, one person, mortal, weak, frail, flawed. I make mistakes. But to remember, the Lord listens. He hears our prayers, our intercessions to bring about his plan A. I mean, look who the Lord chose, Moses. Doubted, questioned, flawed. The Israelites, such a stiff-necked people. Jesus, his 12 disciples, we would have been reminded afresh as we went through the Easter narrative. Ordinary, flawed, weak, fishermen, nothing special. Betrayed, denied 3 times, scattered. Who was with Jesus as he went to the cross alone? We're the same, ordinary, flawed. We mess up, we make mistakes, broken. We question, we doubt. That's why we need Jesus to intercede for us. The amazing truth is, God the Father didn't just choose us. God the Son rescued us, and now he will use us. And that shows the power of intercession to the Lord who listens. And you see what I did there? You see all persons of the Trinity working together. Been chosen by God the Father, God the Son accomplished, and now his spirit that works in us as we cry out in his strength, not our strength, to him, he will hear our prayers of intercession. As we start to desire what he desires, people to turn from him, as we desire what Moses desired that pointed to what Jesus desired for the glory of his name, that the nations may say that we serve the Lord, not of the one of vengeance, but the one of kindness and grace and mercy, who will help us to say no to idols and yes to Jesus. So we grow in our holiness that again displays our character to a watching world and gives glory to his name. And the thing is, we need to intercede for each other. We need one another in order to keep going and to press on and to go on in the Christian life. You know, one of the joys of coming to something like this is just the encouragement. On the beach yesterday, being able to share the truths that we've heard from Philippians and just to say, just to walk alongside other Christian brothers and sisters, tell me, you know, how are you? I'm not judging them. How are you? Isn't Jesus great? Isn't he brilliant? You know, tell me how life is. How can I pray for you? How can I intercede? The Lord cares, he hears, he loves, he listens. Isn't that great? And as we do that, as we intercede for one another, the Lord hears, the Lord answers, we grow, don't we, in holiness. And what does that do? That brings glory to him, right? And we do that to the world, for the world. The encouragement, God listens to us. His listening ability isn't flawed like us. Remember that. I had labyrinthitis a few years ago. Just lost my hearing in my left ear. Had MRI scans and everything. And yeah, you know, it's left a ringing in the ears. Nothing they can do. Have to live with it. And so, you know, I have to, when I'm having a conversation with someone, I've got to turn my head like this. And it's particularly hard in sort of crowded rooms and stuff. The ambient noise could really, really listen hard to pick things up. But there is a silver lining. Because if someone's irritating or babbling or waffling, I turn my ear like this. What? God's not like us. He listens, not partially, not selective. He listens and responds. Moses interceded, the Lord relented. Jesus interceded, people were saved. We intercede by the power of his Spirit as our hearts become more Christ-like and align with the Lord's will. And the Lord has revealed his heart and his will. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Will you die, people of Israel? And many here will say, well, you know, I've prayed for years, all kinds of prayers of intercession for loved ones and family and children. You know, they still just don't want to know Jesus. Oh, it's hard. Does he care? Does he listen? Well, I don't see it. It's just silence. And that is my experience. Let me share with you, 19 years ago, I converted from Hinduism to Christianity. The first 20 years of my life, it was all about do to please the gods, and then hearing that God actually stepped down in Jesus. He'd done it. And I just felt awful and guilty that I wasn't hitting the mark. No, it is finished. He did it. And that was one of the best days in my life. I haven't looked back. And then I prayed prayers of intercession for my family. Wonderfully, thankfully, the Lord brought my sister to Christ as I shared the gospel with her 2 years later. But my mum, I've been praying for 19 years. And then 2 years ago, she became really unwell, delirium, got dementia, admitted to hospital. It's been awful the last 18, 20 months, admitted several times to hospital, 3 occasions, touch and go. We thought we'd lost her, but in God's kindness, he restored her to health. And she has dementia, and it's hard. But in the Lord's kindness, she's forgotten she's a Hindu. I mean, it's completely gone. She can tell you everything about, I mean, she'll tell you about her upbringing in Uganda and like loads of things, but you know, just nothing of Hinduism. And just a real encouragement for us and all nations as well. It's coming to church every Sunday. She's coming to our community cafe, which is for seniors in the community. And guess what? There are more Hindus coming because they want to, that she's there, and then they're starting to come to church. And you know, I've been translating John's gospel into Gujarati, into a heart language, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, it'd be really nice to share this with someone else. You know, my sister's in Australia, just you're all alone. A few months later, a Christian who I discover converted from Hinduism comes to our church. Oh, I'm looking for a local church in our area. My mum and her at our seniors cafe chatting away in the mother tongue, in the heart language. Because the Lord listens. My mum isn't a Christian yet. But I can see the Lord working in her life. And here's the point. I prayed for many years, and for many years, silence. But I kept going. Psalm 90, Moses said, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has gone by. Slowness doesn't mean the Lord isn't listening. And what my mum's been through in the last 2 years, that's not how I would have planned it, but that was the Lord's plan A all along. We need to remember, slowness does not mean he's not listening. And we need to remember that he might respond in different ways, but that doesn't mean that he's not listening, because our Father loves and longs to hear from his children. In his infinite wisdom, he'll hear what we say, how we say it, our motives, and he'll respond. And I know this as a father with my son who loves chocolate and loves football and would love chocolate and asks breakfast, lunch, dinner, and would love to play football all day and every day. And yes, I give him some chocolate and we play football after school, but I know what he needs best. And the Lord knows what we need best when we ask. There'll be times when we feel that our prayers of intercession haven't been heard, but he listens. God listened to Moses, God listened to Jesus, and God listens to us. As we cry out, as we intercede for others, as we journey to glory. Have you ever wondered, Lord, are you listening? Yes, my child. Why don't we take a moment to reflect on something that has stirred us, gripped us, encouraged our hearts, strengthened our confidence, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the universe, the I am who I am, who listens. Thank you, Lord, for this extraordinary encounter, showing the need and the power of intercession and how Jesus did it way better for us that we're here like this. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you chose us, you redeemed us, and Lord, now use us as we intercede for one another and for the world in joyful confidence and assurance for your glory. Amen.